Hey there, everybody. It is April the 13th, 2011, and you are listening to a very special This Show Is So Gay Tonight. I'm trying something different, and we are going to do an entire episode dedicated to New England. All our guests, all our stories, all the news, even where I'm sitting right now, all New England. Let's see how this goes. Kicking things off. Hey, Daisy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
This is so exciting. Producing, Daisy Frederick is producing right here in Brattleboro, Vermont, which I understand is indeed part of New England. Is it not, Daisy?
Yes, it is.
Look at that. She is, you know what? You tell everybody. I always do the intro. What perhaps are you producing this weekend, Daisy?
This set will be Hedvig and the Angry Inn.
Look at that. And just one show? Is it just one show, Daisy?
It's going to happen actually Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Holy cow. So this is bringing a little bit of gay queer flavor back to Brattleboro, because this is not the first time you've done this.
Yep, this will be our second run.
So how? Let's talk about the first run. You, at some point, it says here in a press release, Daisy Frederick is a self-proclaimed head. Is that true?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yep, I saw the film about 7 years ago and absolutely fell in love with the story and the music and have been dreaming a little bit about putting on my own show, and it all just came together here in Brattleboro.
Well, Daisy, you make that sound so easy. It all just came together. You put quite a bit of work into this, did you not?
Yes, I did, as well as, yes, many other creative talents. But all local, which is one of the most exciting things, using all local talent.
Now, for people, and that also makes this a very New England story, for people who say, I don't know what this Hedvig is, isn't that the owl in Harry Potter, what would you tell them, Daisy?
It is a gender-bending rock musical. It's the story of love and identity, about an East German boy growing up behind the Berlin Wall, who wants to escape, and one of the ways he does it is gets a botched sex change operation and goes on many journeys. One of them leads him to music and meeting another musician who ends up basically stealing all of his stuff. And Hedvig is somebody who's trying to get that stardom back.
Now, what does this angry inch refer to? You have to go see the show to find out, I feel.
Yes, definitely. But that's one of the great things about Hedvig, is that there are so many interpretations, and the story can bring out so many questions, and just a lot of really great things that you can take a lot from it.
Daisy, what does this show mean to you? You know, there's certainly a lot of movies out there. Why did Hedvig and the Angry Inch scream out to you?
I think because of its universal themes, and somebody who, Hedvig, definitely doesn't fit in really anywhere. And I, you know, I've always kind of felt kind of on the, you know, one of the freaks, I guess. And so watching the film and watching the character of Hedvig go through so many trials and yet keep humor, I think that was an inspiring story. And the music is absolutely phenomenal. It's great rock and roll music, and the lyrics are really powerful.
Now, you did it once. You brought the show to Brattleboro. Everybody loved it. And then the run was over. And how did you feel when the run was over?
So many emotions. We got so much positive feedback from the community. And it was an incredibly powerful experience for me. And I just, it was really wonderful to see it all come together. But it was also, you know, kind of a relief. We were sort of flying by the seat of our pants at the end. The first show was actually the first time everybody had all come together, lights and sound and
Wow. Everything.
So I'm really glad it worked out.
Now, what about this juxtaposition? Hedvig is not a shy and retiring musical. So juxtapose Hedvig onto Brattleboro, Vermont, small town New England. You're taking, because I would think, Daisy, there's a lot of small communities that, no, I think we're going to do My Fair Lady. I think we're going to do The King and I. They're not going to do Hedvig and the Angry Inch, because they'd be nervous that, oh, well, how is this going to be received? Why do Hedvig in Brattleboro?
And I think that, you know, Brattleboro, I lived in Boston for many years and actually had seen the, you know, performed live in Boston, and I thought that was fun to see it there. But when I moved to Brattleboro, part of the reason why I moved here was the creative's been open-minded and interesting and different and on the edge kind of people that I met here. And I almost knew right away that this would be a great place to do Hedwig. And I just, the more people I met, the more I realized that it could actually become a reality.
Coolest feedback you've received?
I think probably one of the most interesting was Murray Krugman, from who had produced Blue Oyster Cult. He had actually come to see the production and said it was one of the best versions of the show that he had seen. So that was pretty exciting. It was exciting also that actually people came from all around Vermont and other places to Brattleboro to come see it. So that was great as well.
Daisy, what does a producer do?
A little bit of everything. I organized. Probably the biggest job was finding other really great people who are really talented at what they do. So a great director, a great music director, lighting, sound. So finding those people and just supporting them and making sure they had what they needed to do what they do best. And then all the little details from, you know, finding some of the props to, you know, putting the program together. Lots of little details, lots of organizing. But then I do get to sit back and enjoy the show, which is also really great.
What is the likelihood that I go to one of these performances, you jump up out of the audience, grab the mic, and just take over one of the roles?
Probably that would be the least likely thing ever. I have always done behind the scenes in theater. I've done theater forever and always did props or set design, and I have really never had the urge to get up on stage. So I like to stay behind the scenes.
All right. I'm not ruling it out. I am not ruling it out. And now who is playing Hedwig?
That would be Brattleboro native Harold Hamilton.
Look at that. Now, he's very... How do you get him out of his shell? Because I know it's really tough to get him out of his shell.
He's actually wonderful at bringing some of his own experiences and own history to the role. He actually, before Hedwig last year, had not acted on stage in 20 years and never in a starring role. So it definitely, I think it took a, you know, support of the community and support of his friends. And then this year we also have Patrick Donnelly, who is director, our new director for the show, and he's done a lot to work with Harold on playing Hedwig, who is actually one of the most complex.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
One of the most complex, deep, energy requiring characters out there. So it's been challenging, but it's been really good.
So we got Thursday, April 14th, Friday, mm-hmm. April 15th, Saturday, April 16th, 8 p.m. shows.
Yep.
Doors open at 7:30.
Yep.
Where would someone go to see such a show?
That would be the new venue in Brattleboro. It's the Headroom Stages, which is 17 Elliott Street, kind of meet between Maple Leaf Music and Taylor Flowers.
I mean, Daisy, it really is a big deal that you are bringing this to Brattleboro, not just bringing it, but bringing it back to Brattleboro. There's a huge community here, and I think there are all these assumptions about New England and small-town New England, and such a thing could never happen here. And I love that you persisted. You brought it here. You said, this is an important voice that we all want to hear, and people show up in droves, and they love it. I mean, everybody's so excited.
Yeah, I know. I'm really excited, too.
So let me just say, because then I got to let you go, because it's Wednesday. The show is tomorrow. How much will you be sleeping tonight, Daisy?
Probably not a lot. I'm on my third cup of coffee. We'll just see what happens.
That's awesome. All right, well, we are going to play a little In Your Arms tonight, which is my favorite track. I like that one.
Great.
Okay. Daisy, love you for doing this. Have an amazing run. Please sit back and have some fun. I'm really excited to see which song you're going to jump up out of the audience and grab the mic for. And all the best to the cast and everybody Great. Working on this show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Daisy.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
Down.
Welcome back to a very special New England edition of This Show Is So Gay. That was In Your Arms Tonight off of the Hedwig and the Angry Inch soundtrack. Playing that because big old production of Hedwig going up this weekend right here in Brattleboro, Vermont. Very exciting. Love to see something different. Folks here are so thrilled about that. So really, I know that we get a lot of listeners from small town USA, and you send us emails at thisshowisogay@AOL.com, and we love getting those. And you say things like, oh, we could never do that here. You totally could do that here. You, wherever you are, wherever here is, you can do it. So as I promised, all New England, that's what we're focused on. So we're going to take you on a little news tour of gay news in New England. We're going to start off up top, up in Maine. A couple trans stories out in Maine. So one is a little bit more specific, and we'll start there. A trans woman who says discrimination kept her from renting an apartment. She won support from a human rights panel just this past Monday. Jackie Ray Mays attempted to rent an apartment in Augusta, Maine, from the Tisdale Management Company in 2009, but she says that she was discriminated against because she's transgender. Not only was she told that the agent showing the apartment didn't have any applications, her request that one be mailed to her was not filled immediately. Upon receiving it, a little bit later, she filled it out, submitted it the following day, only to be told 10 days later it did not arrive. Oh, yay, yay. These are just kind of lame tactics to come up with to deny someone rental from an apartment. That's not good. The apartment in question was meanwhile given to a couple who viewed it later than she did and submitted an application on the same day. Kind of lame. 4 days later, then Jackie Ray Mays saw the apartment. After hearing her story, Maine Human Rights Commission investigator Angela Tizone concluded that the delays caused Mays to lose a fair opportunity to apply for the apartment and left her subject, quote, to less favorable terms and conditions of the rental application status. On Monday, the panel agreed, and the rental company's owner said that he lost the case primarily for not responding to a notice from the commission. He said, quote, I didn't realize it was that important. So the Maine Human Rights Act has outlawed discrimination in housing based on sexual orientation since December 2005. So that's pretty cool. So that's good. It's not good that they did these really lame delays. That's not good. But on the broader front, on the more political front up there in Maine, there is now a bill running through the Maine legislature. It's not good. Maine legislation that would restrict transgender people's right to use the restroom of their choice. Well, it drew emotional testimony at the state capitol in Augusta just yesterday, with many speakers opposed to the bill and supportive of trans rights. The proposed law, really, again, that this is something that our legislators are spending time doing. It's not good. The proposed law would allow the operator of a public restroom or shower to decide whether patrons could use the men's or women's facility, meaning transgender people could be forced to use the one matching their biological sex, not the gender with which they identify. It would also prevent them from filing discrimination lawsuits in such cases. Here's the bathroom you must use, and by the way, Don't sue me for it, because you can't. Republican State Representative Kenneth Fredette. Kenneth, you're killing me. It's my name. You're killing my name there. Republican State Representative Kenneth Fredette put the bill forward in response to a Maine Human Rights Commission's ruling that found that a school in Orono and a Denny's restaurant in Auburn discriminated against transgender people by not allowing them to use the restroom, which was a right established by what we just said, the 2005 State Human Rights Act. And this is what Kenneth Fredette told an overflow crowd at a judiciary meeting hearing on this bill. He said, quote, "The concept here is there is not an absolute right for a transgender." By the way, it doesn't say for a transgender person. He just says for a transgender to go into the bathroom they identify with. We have to draw lines in this society. I'm obviously adding some tone. Sorry, Kenneth, but we have the same name. I can add tone. We have to draw lines in this society so we balance rights with the rights of everyone else. What situation do we put young children in when they go into a private place and then what they perceive to be a person of the opposite sex comes into the bathroom? That could be quite shocking. That's all his quote. However, supporters of Fredette's bill were in a distinct minority at the hearing. Good. Taking up only a half an hour with their testimony, while opponents spoke for 3.5 hours. And one of them, a tearful Wayne Maines, whose 13-year-old daughter was born male but has identified as female, he said, quote, "This bill places transgender children in a position of doom and hopelessness." Wow. So hopefully this bill goes absolutely nowhere. But again, let's express some general frustration that we are spending time on something like this. Although it is raising awareness. So let's kudos to all these folks for showing up and raising awareness. They were put into a corner because Kenneth Fredette wants to spend his time on this. And I think people should take that into account for the next election. Not that because of various rules that govern radio stations, I can't endorse him or tell people not to vote for him. But these are the kind of things that you want to think about. This is something that Kenneth Fredette is spending his time on. So that's what's going on in Maine. I tried to get some gay stories from Connecticut, which apparently counts as New England. Not so much with the Connecticut. The only thing that I could find that was gay in Connecticut, and I'm sure there are many gay things in Connecticut, and if I missed a big old gay story in Connecticut, send me an email. The show is so gay at AOL.com. Was Shelley Wright, the country music star, who came out earlier, actually in 2010. She came out last year, and it was a big deal. Big deal to come out in the country music world. She's getting married at a private location in Connecticut. That's all I got. I'm sorry. I should have more than that, but that's all I have right now for Connecticut gay. All right. Now, it doesn't get more gay and New England than Girly Man singing a song called Montpelier. Enjoy.
Through on a paved city road in the middle of the day, when a truck turning white struck your blind side, and dying there you lay. The car is slipping on the road in the rain, and this slips through my brain. Five stars eyes in power, and Montpelier is 3 miles away. Montpelier is 3 miles away. Montpelier is 3 miles away. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ooh. There are times that I don't even want to talk on this show. I just want to listen to Girly Man. Is that okay? Jody Clark would still listen if that's all I did. But yes, I will additionally throw some words out there. But that's Girly Man singing Montpelier on our very special New England edition of This Show Is So Gay. So my favorite story of the week is a New England gay story. We have been saying on the show, we talk all the time about, all right, so we're in Vermont. I know you guys are all over the country. You're all over the world. Love that. Apparently, by the way, big week for This Show Is So Gay in Saudi Arabia. I get the stats every Monday where people are listening. Banner week in Saudi Arabia for This Show Is So Gay. But I would turn the volume down. I'm just saying. Just making sure that everybody's safe and still listening to the show. So we talk a lot on the show about, so we're in Vermont. Vermont is a very gay accepting place and has unbelievable legislation. But I sometimes get the feeling, oh gosh, are we being too insular? Are we doing as much as we possibly can to get out there and tell other states? So this was the process we went through, and you can go through this process too. And here's what we learned, and we can help you. And I always fear that we're not doing that enough. And now we have this governor. And at this point, post-election, you would think that the sheen would have worn off a bit. But gosh, Peter Shumlin, who was on the show, he called into the show years ago. By the way, now we get to say we had the Vermont governor on, even though at the time, not the Vermont governor, but that doesn't really stop me from saying that. So Vermont Governor Peter Shumlin was on this show. He was fantastic, talking about the move to gay marriage from civil unions. And now he's out there. He has left the state. He's coming back, folks. Don't worry. He's coming back. But he left the state to go to Rhode Island to support the folks in Rhode Island who are trying to get gay marriage there, but they're struggling with civil unions. And so is civil unions a compromise? So he's out there. Vermont, let me read a little bit from the story. Vermont Governor Peter Shumlin, he visited Rhode Island last Thursday to rally support for gay marriage there in the Ocean State. He joined Rhode Island Governor at the State House in calling on lawmakers to pass legislation extending the rights of marriage to gay couples. Here in Vermont, we first authorized civil unions a decade ago, and Governor Shumlin urged Rhode Island to avoid that half step and pass a full gay marriage law instead. He said, quote, during a joint news conference, "We went halfway, and halfway on civil rights isn't good enough," that's the way to go. So he is out there. He is saying, this is what happened in Vermont. This is what you can do. This is what we learned. It's just great. Love this. The Rhode Island General Assembly has held hearings on the bill, but has not yet voted to send it to the full House or Senate. Shumlin met with legislative leaders to really make sure that their worries were addressed about political fallout from a vote for gay marriage. He also told supporters of gay marriage not to be discouraged by the sometimes slow pace of legislation. And he praised people there in Rhode Island for taking these steps. Love this. About 36 opponents to gay marriage held a prayer vigil outside Thursday's press conference. Chris Plant, director of the Rhode Island chapter of the National Organization for Marriage, we've talked about them before, said he's optimistic the bill may stay bottled up in committee and never make it to a General Assembly vote. He said, quote, "It's not a done deal that we're even going to have a vote." So there's definitely some delaying tactics going on there in Rhode Island. But this is like this cross New England pollination story where Vermont and Rhode Island are meeting to really advance civil rights. So love that story. Governor Shumlin, you are doing, we got to get you back on the show. So love that. Over in Massachusetts, yet another place in New England, if confirmed, Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick's nominee for the state Supreme Judicial Court would be the first openly gay justice to serve on the state's highest court. Patrick, a Democrat, nominated State Appeals Court Judge Barbara Lenk to fill the seat held by Judge Judith Cowan, who announced her retirement earlier this year. Patrick said in a statement, quote, "I am honored to nominate Justice Lenk to the Supreme Judicial Court. She is a brilliant and thoughtful jurist with a deep sense of justice." And if she is confirmed, the quote is ended. This wasn't part of his quote. But if she is confirmed, she'll be the first openly gay judge on the Massachusetts High Court. So that's pretty cool. We'll keep tabs on that. That's in Massachusetts. Now, let's stroll on over. Where do you want to go next? Let's go to New Hampshire. We're going to be doing a lot of New Hampshire stuff tonight. There's a lot going on in New Hampshire. A straw poll held at the St. Anselm College in New Hampshire held a remarkable victory. Did you guys see this story? This is actually a big deal. Held a remarkable victory for Republican gay rights activist Fred Karger, who was the only speaker. Fred was the only speaker at the presidential forum. After addressing the group of college students who self-identified according to the poll results as 50% moderate and 50% Republican, Karger received 25% of the votes totaled, leading the pack, with former Governor Mitt Romney in second place with 23%. Real estate mogul and businessman Donald Trump came in third place. He's going strong there, Donald Trump, with 8%. And former Governor Tim Pawlenty, current Texas Representative Ron Paul, and former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani came in fourth with 7% each. And then there's all these other people. The results indicate that while Karger, who is Fred Karger, if you do not know, he is the first openly gay presidential candidate, though he is not, he may not be the most well-known outside of political and activism circles, his message, this is what the article says, his message may be strong enough to gain attention from the top tier candidates. So over there in New Hampshire, in a straw poll of Republican candidates, Fred Karger, the only one to show up for the debates, but still probably the least well-known, and clearly his message had some effect. Openly gay candidate Fred Karger beating out Mitt Romney. Kind of a big deal. All right, we are going to play, let's see, we're in New England, and this winter seems not to end, so we're going to play Susan Werner's version of Hazy Shade of Winter. Enjoy.
Become of me while I looked around for my possibilities. I was so hard to believe, but look around, leaves are brown now, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. Carry your cup in your hand and look around. Leaves are brown now, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. Hang on to your hopes, my friend. That's an easy thing to say, but if your hopes should pass away, simply pretend that you can build them again. And look around, the grass is high, fields are ripe, it's the springtime of my life. Ah, seasons change with the scenery, weaving time in a tapestry. Won't you stop and remember me? At any convenient time. Funny how my memory slips while looking over manuscripts of unpublished rhyme. drinking my vodka and
That is Susan Werner singing Hazy Shade of Winter, her version of Hazy Shade of Winter off of her Classics album. If you have not picked up Susan Werner's new album, Kicking the Beehive, you must pick it up. She reinvents herself with every single CD. And this is a little known fact. Susan Werner was the first guest we ever had on This Show Is So Gay back in 2008. And you're thinking, wait a second, that's not on the website. No, because we really didn't figure out the recording equipment very well back then, and it didn't turn out so well. So we'll have Susan Werner back on the show, and we'll remind people what we talked about years and years ago. All right, we are going to queue up another guest. Hey, other guest, are you there?
I am.
All right, let me introduce you. Justin Scarelli is a writer, a director, a storyteller based out of New Hampshire, or as we like to call it, Upside Down Vermont, because that's really what it looks like. His film, Some Holiday, has made the rounds at various colleges, universities, LGBT organizations, and now he's here for our special New England edition of This Show Is So Gay. Justin Scarelli, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Thanks for having me.
How the heck are you?
I'm doing all right. The weather could be better, but...
Well, it leads us to our first question, Justin. What does New England mean to you?
What does New England mean to me? That's a good question.
Are you a native New Englander?
I was born in Massachusetts. I lived in Methuen, which is pretty much New Hampshire.
Okay.
It's like 10 minutes from the border. And then I live in a small town called Hampstead. And I've been here for about 20 years or so.
There you go. What is small town New England like for a young gay male?
Not a lot of opportunity around here.
Okay.
I mean, there's the seacoast and stuff. There's Portsmouth and... there's a couple other little eclectic, you know, arts communities.
Okay.
So you kind of have to gravitate towards those areas. And this town's more families that have settled down and retired and all that stuff.
Gotcha.
Thinking about, you know, what's my next step in life. So
you might not stay there in small town New England?
I don't think so. I'd love to come back here, you know, later on. I think New England is a great environment. There's a lot of different, interesting people here, but they're more spread out.
That's your New England commentary. You don't even have to do more of that. All right. Now, maybe a topic that you perhaps know slightly more about. Tell us about the film, Some Holiday.
The film, I wrote it in 2009, and we started showing it in July of last year. So it's about three couples, young couples, a married couple, there's a gay couple, and an actress and musician, and basically revolves around their lives and how they deal with pursuing their own dreams with the responsibility of a child, as a child at the center of all their relationships. So it kind of goes back and forth in between their connections and how they deal with that. So,
now, do you feel more connected to the gay couple than the other couples?
You know, yes. As a writer, and I mean, I came out right around the time I wrote this movie.
Oh, look at that.
So I never dealt with same-sex characters in something I'd written before. So
wow.
It was a sort of coming out in terms of storytelling for me, which was, I learned a lot. And it was interesting to take that and have to direct actors and take that story and deal with it in a way that was authentic and felt right. And you just, it's so interesting looking outside of yourself. So that was personal to me, absolutely.
Now, why the medium of film? So many different art forms out there. Why does the medium of film speak to you?
I love film, and I love television because it's very character-driven. And I think that the idea of having take television or film, but the idea of having something that you can sit down for an hour or two and, you know, characters that speak to you or a story, you know, if it's television every week, you get accustomed and grown with these people. You can sort of take life lessons from that. It's just like, in a weird way, having, you know, relationships with people in your life,
mm-hmm.
Because you take certain philosophies and ideas from everyone you come into contact with, and I think that film and television and that sort of art form can really stretch that in a much more, it has a farther reach, I think, for me.
Now, what shows are on your radar? What are you watching these days?
Oh, boy. I love, let's see. I love, like, sci-fi shows. I love Fringe, but I love Lost. I like those sort of mythology sort of character stories. But I also, you know, I used to love Gilmore Girls a lot.
One could argue that you perhaps have a status update this week about Gilmore Girls.
I did. My bureau at home is full of DVDs instead of clothes, so that's my priority. Every now and then I'll drag out a show or a film and just watch it.
Some of the sci-fi shows do quite well with the gay characters, although I will tell you, I am right now in the middle of a Battlestar Galactica hole. That's what I've been mm-hmm. watching. But apparently you have to watch the webisodes to see the gay characters interact. But on the main show, nobody's really gay. It's kind of annoying.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Battlestar's on my radar. I haven't gotten into it.
Yeah, you need to put that more towards the top of the queue. I'm just saying.
No.
If you have no desire to go to work, it's good for you. So you've been touring the movie around. Where have you been?
We had our premiere in Concord, New Hampshire, which is where I lived for a few years.
Nice.
Which is where we filmed the movie primarily. And then we did Salem, Mass. And we partnered with a LGBT youth group down there.
Great.
Yes, we did a an auction for them, and the proceeds from the ticket sales went to their
fantastic.
And then a few weeks ago, we were in Vermont. We were in your area, up in Bennington. We did Southern Vermont College. It was a small college, about 500 undergrads.
I know it really. The dean of students is a good friend of mine. I know Southern Vermont College.
Who's the dean of students?
Anne Hopkins Gross.
And Hawkinsworth.
She's going to be thrilled that she just got a shout out on This Show Is So Gay. So this is good. It's a total, it's the New England edition of This Show Is So Gay.
My uncle is the provost there, so I had a little bit of a connection. But we ended up, again, partnering with their LGBT group and their intro to film class. So that was really fun to be in that sort of forum.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, really be among sort of, I guess they would be my peers for the most part, but not really. But it's a different environment than dealing with your general movie going.
Oh, absolutely. Now tell us about the feedback that you're getting.
It's been positive. We did this film for very, very little money. I'd probably call it a no budget. I was, you know, I acted part as the caterer and all the, you know, other.
Oh, yeah.
Forms of I had a cameraman, we had a boom mic, and we had, you know, several actors that were just graduated or from community theater. But it really did guerrilla filmmaking. We just, you know, we put passion into it, and I think that's really what people respond to, is the authenticity of story. I think that sometimes you can overlook, for the most part, you know, production quality and just get in touch with the story and what the characters are saying. And that's been my response. It's still nerve-wracking to show it because it's something that's personal to me and I get nervous. But afterwards, people generally respond, you know, in kind will. So.
Are you tired of watching the movie, Justin?
You know, I was for a while. I mean, I had to edit the things, and I'd had to restructure it, and, you know, I probably can recite, you know, it back and forth.
Yeah.
But there are times where I still get pulled into it, you know, and I think that that's good. I mean,
very good.
I've seen it, you know, so many times. But it's always a stepping stone. It's like, you know, what can I do better next time? What can I do with, you know, with more money or, you know, more professional, you know, crew? That's what I look at these things, is it's always one step, you know, from where you were and just build a foundation. So.
Now, what did you learn about yourself? We filmmakers actually on the show quite a bit, and we never seem to get to the topic of, so what did you learn about yourself through this project?
Well, I learned quite a lot. I learned, especially in dealing with, part of the struggle with my coming out was, and part of the story was, I struggled with accepting myself because I thought that society wouldn't allow me to have certain things, such as children
mm-hmm.
or marriage or those sort of fundamentals we view as the icing on the cake. And I felt very angry about that. And so that's what I tried to put into the story, and I wanted to explore, is that, you know, we have these conventions in society that people tell us, you know, that's what the norm is. And, you know, you have your, I'm looking at it, you know, you have your heterosexual couples who can
right.
pretty much go out and procreate whenever they want.
Right.
You know, and sometimes through accidents, whatever, you know, child, you know, children appear in the scene and, or children appear in the scene and, you know, they don't want them. And it was so ironic to me that, you know, here are couples who are of same sex who can, you know, want to nurture a child, and, you know, love is love, in my opinion, and they aren't allowed that. And I wanted to show, you know, perhaps that what we view as conventional isn't, you know, isn't exactly the end of the line where
yeah.
you want to be. So you have to sort of take that all into account. And I think I learned that people are people, you know, and especially with characters, it taught me to trust myself and my voice and what I was trying to say. And I think the more we have that in media, in story, I think the more that it's in people's faces subtly,
yeah.
I think the discussion gets allowed to happen. And it's not like you're pushing in people's faces. And I think that's really hopefully going to win out in the end, you know, against this ignorance and stuff. So that's what, to me, what film can do and what stories can do.
I think it's going to win out by this weekend. That's what I'm predicting. I think that, at least in New England, I think this very special New England edition of This Show Is So Gay is going to help us win out. And we'll see what happens in other places. So now what's next? What's coming up next for you?
Well, I probably have another, we have another screening at UNH in Durham.
Okay.
Probably end of this month. Schools are so hard to schedule with.
Oh, yeah. You're talking to a dean of students here, buddy. I know.
Yeah. So they gave me a date towards, I think it was the 28th, but that may change because there's finals. But that's the plan. And I'm, you know, being persistent. That's one of the things you have to do.
Oh, yeah.
I think when you're a one-man show is to be annoying.
No, absolutely. Now, are you thinking about next projects?
Yes, I've been writing a lot and just thinking about what the next step should be. A lot of being an independent filmmaker is you have to make connections and find the resources, and you know, it all comes down to, you know, I've done a lot of projects on my own for very little to no money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while I enjoy that process, I think I'm looking, you know, how you don't want to keep doing the same thing over
right.
and over again. So trying to look at what I have and what resources I have and, you know, what's the next step to make that happen. So
I'll pitch an idea to you right now. Small gay radio show in rural New England and all the drama that ensues. I'm just putting it out there. Should that inspire some sort of script to which I would get many royalties? I just want to plant the seed of that.
It would be in the vein of like a Frasier type deal, or
more Gilmore Girls.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can do the snappy dialogue.
I think so.
References.
I think it's more of a Gilmore Girls, and then I say we just combine them, Gilmore Girls and Battlestar Galactica. See how that can come together in gay New England.
I'd love to see Lorelai somewhere in Battlestar Galactica.
I think that would be, I think it would work. I'm just putting it out there. Should, you know, if I then see that you've made this movie and the royalties aren't coming in, this will be a different conversation. Now, you...
Well, if I ever make a film or any type of thing, you'll be first on my radar.
Awesome. See, look, radar. It's like Battlestar already. You'll see. It's very important. Now, you hosted some of our favorite people, did you not, a few months ago?
I did.
Who did you host?
We had Nathan Mansky and his crew from I'm from Driftwood here. Actually, they were on your show the day before they came to Hampstead.
They weren't even sure where they were going the next day.
Yeah,
it was very funny.
They're like, are you in Conk? I'm like, no one really knows. I mean, it's a little small town on the border of, you know, Salem, New Hampshire. And it was fun. It's fun to meet people. And, you know, on a whim, I went on Nathan's website, you know, a few months ago, and I said, oh, come here, and, you know, they, you know, had the little pinpoints, and I sort of forgot about them, and they called me about, you know.
We'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah, see you tomorrow. I'm like, okay, well, that's great, you know, and it was really fun to connect with them, and I did a video story, and I haven't seen it yet. Maybe that's a good thing, but.
It's coming up, trust me. They are putting out new videos all the time.
They're really passionate, and I think that I respect them a great deal. You know, from one storyteller to another, they're definitely doing the good work as far as that goes. So
folks who don't know, I'm from driftwood.com, stories from all over the world, and they did a story tour, stopped here in Vermont, and then I sent them off happily to New Hampshire, where they probably brought their bad weather with them because it was terrible when they were here, and then it got sunny when they left. I'm just saying, I'm not saying that there's a, that, you know, there's a connection, but I think there was. So where can folks go to learn more about all the cool things that you, Justin, are doing?
Well, I have a website, which is surefinewhateverprod, like productions, but just the first four letters, .com. And surefinewhatever is an X-Files reference because that was my favorite show growing up.
I've never seen it.
Never seen X-Files?
I've never seen it.
All right, well, Battlestar is on my top of the list. I'm going to put X-Files up on your Netflix queue.
There. Come on over. We'll do a whole watching party here in Brattleboro. I'll go over there to not Concord, New Hampshire, and we'll watch things over there. It'll be fun. It'll be fun.
Yeah, so surefinewhateverprod.com, and that's my username on YouTube, so people can go on YouTube. I have stuff on there all the time. So
awesome. Awesome.
Or just Google my name. I'm pretty much the only Justin Scarelli, which is a good and bad thing, I guess. If I ever get on the bad side of the law.
Trust me, as Ken Schneck, I know. I know your pain,
you,
sir.
You and me can start a consortium or
there
something.
There you go. There. Well, I'm so excited for this new movie you're writing about me. I'm getting a little teared up, and I kind of got to go because I got to go call my mom. Justin, you need to keep using your voice. You are going to make more films. You are going to tell more stories. You're going to bring more people into dialogue, are you not?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
That's my plan. I think that's the greatest thing I can do. So.
Fantastic. Justin, an absolute treat having you on the show. We want to hear more when you make more films.
Absolutely, and thank you for having me, Ken. It was a pleasure talking to you.
All the best, Justin. That's Justin Scarelli. More from our special New England edition of This Show Is So Gay. A couple more stories for you here on our special edition. Over in, where do you want to go? Let's go to Vermont. We'll stay in Vermont. That's where we are right now. And we haven't heard how this went, so I got to get an update for everybody. But just yesterday, all of these different groups went to Montpelier to meet with Governor Shumlin. Gay rights groups, they planned a day of lobbying at the Vermont State House, stressing that what they see as continuing harassment and discrimination endured by gay people in Vermont. The various groups included RU12 Community Center, Outright Vermont, Vermont Cares, and Vermonters Ending Transgender Oppression. They organized this April 12th, just yesterday, LGBTQ Visibility Day in Montpelier. The Cara D. Leonardis, executive director of the RU12 Community Center, said the day is an opportunity for gay rights advocates to connect with each other and with lawmakers about important issues facing the groups, including bullying and harassment, access to health care, and HIV issues. They were introduced on the House floor. Lobby lawmakers met with them over lunch, and then they met with Governor Shumlin. And again, love that Governor Shumlin is giving people this kind of time, because Lord knows that not every governor is going to do that. So that's pretty darn good. In this kind of nominally New England gay story, for the first time, a U.S. judge has suspended the deportation of the foreign-born same-sex spouse of an American citizen. Last week's action by an immigration judge in New York, just wait for the New England part, just hold on, judge in New York comes amid ongoing challenges to the constitutionality of a law banning the federal government from recognizing marriages between gay folks. Last year, Christina Ojeda of Queens, New York, married her partner of 3 years, Argentine-born Monica Alcutta, in nearby Connecticut, ding, 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 New England, one of only a handful of states that allow civil marriage for gay people. But Alcada has been living under the threat of deportation for years, having overstayed a tourist visa that expired 10 years ago. Last week, on March 22nd, 2011, Alcada stood before an immigration judge fearing deportation to Argentina, but the judge halted deportation proceedings to give her and Ojeda time to petition for federal recognition of their marriage. So that's a big deal, and it's not just a New England issue. This is a national issue on what happens with marriages that are perfectly legal in the state with foreign-born partners who now face deportation even though they're married, and if they were straight, they would not be facing deportation. That's a real, real issue both in New England and in the country. So we will keep our eyes on that. We have incredible, incredible shows coming up in the next few weeks. On April 20th, just next week, the director of the Center for Population Research in LGBT Health and co-chair of the Fenway Institute, Dr. Judith Bradford, will be on the show. That's New England. That's New England Gay. So that's next week. On May 4th, Zoe Lewis, who's a singer, songwriter. She is a one-woman band. I adore Zoe Lewis. So excited to have her on the show. She'll be on May 4th. And on May 11th, and people are flipping out about this, we have not had her on the show for years. Truly, it's been years since she's been on the show. Speaker, teacher, writer, activist, one of the foremost people out there talking about bisexuality, Robin Oakes, will be on the show. To the point where co-host Jody Clark switched her Wednesday so that she could be on the show that Robin Oakes will be calling into. Love Robin Oakes. All these great shows. If you have guest ideas, send us an email at thisshowissogay@AOL.com. We want any and all guest ideas. These guests came from listeners like you who wanted to request a guest. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to hear past shows, to learn about the hosts, to look at upcoming guests, to see a full guest list, to find out how to contact us. And of course, stroll on over to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, then take your little mouse, put the arrow over like, click like, you then like us, because we sure as heck like you. And I always forget to remind people of this. Please, please, please go to iTunes. You can find the link right off of our thisshowissogay.com page. Click on the iTunes This Show Is So Gay page, or just go to iTunes and type in This Show Is So Gay. And please rate us. The more you rate us, and hopefully highly, please, highly, that would be appreciated, the more folks find out about our dog and pony show here in New England. In New England. And that, honestly, that ends our very special New England edition of This Show Is So Gay. We're going to play a song that has absolutely nothing, because you got to get out of this New England mode now. Now we got to get you back to the real world, because New England is a utopia unto itself. See how I'm currying favor from my fellow New Englanders? Get out there. Come visit New England. Look us up. Come to Vermont, or just go somewhere. Use your voice. Stay where you are. Use your voice. Make some change. Bring awareness. This week, I wrote an op-ed. It's in the Brattleboro Reformer about my frustrations about not being able to give blood. That's me using my voice. Just penned it, put it off there. Hopefully it raised some awareness, because there's a lot of folks that don't know that gay folks can't give blood. Got to raise awareness. So use your voice however you want to do it. Daisy just brought Hedvig and the Angry Inch back to Vermont. Justin is making films. I'm doing a gay radio show with a New England edition. Whatever it is that you want to do, get out there and do it. Use your voice. And remember, above all else, why be gay when you can be so gay?
Raised up on Midwestern dreams, only a few shall get what everyone shall need. I took my family's burden and strapped it to my chest, a few $100 and a kiss for luck. And I pointed my dreams west to Kansas. Into the setting sun, galaxies of angels welcome everyone. I took my heart out of its box, attached it to my sleeve. Well, I will be here every night, because that's what I believe. California. peace. I will seek my truth. I am almost free. I am almost free. I am almost free. I am almost free. I am almost free.